Oh my gosh, way too cute. Those are the voices of 4 and 5-year-olds at the Commodore John Rogers School in Baltimore. Their teacher, Beryl Dewdney, was recently named Maryland's State Teacher of the Year. Out west, another teacher to little ones has also earned top honors. Tara Hughes, a special education teacher at the Nye Early Childhood Center in Santa Fe, is now New Mexico's State Teacher of the Year. Two of her young students, Oliver and Elise, share their rave reviews.
So Teacher Tara is one awesome teacher today, and guess what? She is one most interesting teacher.
Teacher Tara taught me how to be groovy, like Pete the Cat, get it? And also, she taught me how to be a great old full of life.
Oh my gosh, Teacher Tara, Tara Hughes, and Beryl Dewdney, they're just starting to get the kind of wider recognition that's typically been saved for K-12 teachers. They'll both be in the running for National Teacher of the Year this spring, and they hope this is a sign that our culture is embracing the importance of early education in a child's life. Both join us now. Beryl, welcome to Here and Now, and congratulations.
Thank you so much for having us.
And Tara, welcome and congratulations to you as well.
Thank you so much.
Okay, Teacher Tara, for those who don't know, Pete the Cat is a character that teaches concepts to kids through song. How do we all get to be groovy like Pete the Cat?
You have to sing and have the dance moves and be happy.
I would love someone to say that I was groovy like Pete the Cat. What does it feel like, Teacher Tara, to win Teacher of the Year?
So I never imagined that I would be recognized for doing what I love so much. And I'm just so honored and proud to be able to represent all teachers, but especially early childhood educators. Mm. Yeah.
I want to bring Beryl in really quickly just to get your reaction to how it feels to have such an honor bestowed upon you. Because frankly, teachers, we just take them for granted, whether they're a K-12, but maybe even more so early education teachers.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like I think about my kids. I think about how they're the real teachers of the year. Like I think about Dakari and Kiara. And to Kai, and just all that they bring, the leadership and the love and the joy. You know, it's our life's greatest privilege to elevate their power and to work with their families. And this platform, this space is completely theirs.
So let's talk a little bit about early education, because it's not something, you know, when we talk about early education, we often just think preschool, but it's really from birth up to 5 years old. I wonder, Beryl, from where you sit, why and how is early education so critical, especially to some of the children you just mentioned who are in the community where you teach?
Yeah, so I mean, I think we're at a really pivotal moment in our country with this, because we know that early childhood education matters in terms of its long-term impacts on life trajectories. But if we really want to transform public education, we have to not just understand that it matters, but we have to get it right in a lot of different contexts. And for me, what serves my children best is play-based learning that allows kids the space to learn in the place where they learn best. Play is the language of students, and it's where they're the experts, and it's where they're able to have a lot of fun and have a lot of joy, but also develop the critical executive functioning skills that we know determine life outcomes.
And when you were talking with our producer, Ashley, prior to this interview, you mentioned many times brain-based education. And I don't think that many of us think about those early years as being based in really developing the brain. Tell us what you mean by that.
Yeah. So when I think about my classroom, it's all about how can we build the strongest, healthiest brain architecture. And that's sort of what I dream for my kids in our nation, is that play-based and culturally responsive teaching that's rooted in love and the science of brain development. For what that means in terms of brains is that if we want to grow brains, we have to actually understand how they learn, and then we have to honor their needs. Mm. That means giving students space to develop the mental tools that enable them to do things like pay attention, to blend sounds into words, to have working memory, all the things. The phrase or the umbrella that those skills are under is something called executive functioning skills. And those you can essentially think of as the air traffic controllers of like the very busy airport that is our brain. They ensure a smooth takeoff and landing of all other learning. So it's really critical that we get all of our kids these skills.
And I think so often we don't really think about the fact that our early educators are doing so much of this critical brain building work. Tara, you have a focus on special needs children. You have many of them in your class. And I wonder if you can just talk a little bit, because really you're an advocate for inclusion and social emotional learning. How does that play out in your classroom?
So I have an inclusion classroom and I have neurotypical and neurodiverse students, and we all learn from the same curriculum according to their individual strengths and abilities.
And let's just tell our listeners, what is a neurodiverse child?
So a neurodiverse student may be a child with autism. It may be a student with Down syndrome. It may be a student who has speech and language delays or receives occupational therapy to support their fine motor development.
And you don't separate them into a different grouping or classroom. You have them with your neurotypical kids. Am I right?
Yeah. So the inclusion model is that they're all in the same classroom together. So all of these students with diverse abilities and backgrounds, they play, they socialize, they learn together, which then respect, kindness, friendships, and understanding of differences really grow.
And as you mentioned, one of the things you both do is play-based learning. And Beryl, in your school, there was play planning, where your students recently had a smoothie station. Let's take a listen.
I would like a smoothie. Come right up. Strawberry, carrots, and some watermelon, and orange. Okay.
Beryl, this is just adorable. But there's a lot going on here. It's not just as simple as making a smoothie. Tell us what's happening.
Yeah, play is not just cute. Play is powerful. So before students were making this smoothie, they were writing play plans to plan what they were playing. They were using their writing as a tool to learn and to help them remember what they were going to play. You know, when kids are pretending to be chefs and bakers, doctors, zookeepers, they're able to make the most cognitive, social, and emotional growth. And what's really important to me is that they're able to explore the world by essentially creating the one that they dream of alongside their peers. And I think that's how we really create a space where education can really become the practice of freedom that we want it to be.
I want to ask you both about the pandemic and how it impacted the children that you teach, but also yourselves. Let's start with you, Beryl.
For me, it's two things. One, I think it centered the need for us to all heal, that everybody needs healing. Everyone needs a felt sense of safety and love in order to learn. And then what always remains true of learning still remain true in the virtual space. Kids need to have experiences where they're learning together. They need targeted feedback in the moment, and teachers also need the space and support to develop getting their students those things.
Tara?
Coming from a special education point of view, I really had to try to figure out how to support my students and being able to do that virtually. So how do I present them multiple ways of being able to show me their knowledge through a screen? In the classroom, you know, you can provide different opportunities for them to show their strengths through their communication and their language. But being able to like rewrite that and figure out, okay, how am I gonna support this student so if they don't have that language to communicate with me, how am I going to get them to show me their strength and what they know? Mm. And that was really trying to reframe and redefine the education and being able to see their strengths.
I wonder about the challenges or maybe the opportunities in your state there, Tara. There's going to be, you know, early childhood is now enshrined in the Constitution. Are there opportunities that you see for the field of early education going forward?
So New Mexico is really in the forefront of early childhood. You know, we are promoting the universal preschool for everyone. And now with the Amendment 1 that was just passed, there's more funding coming through. So I really believe that we are in the forefront of early childhood and that this is opening up a lot of opportunities for us.
Beryl, what gives you hope?
Kids. always. Kids, teachers, their families, everything that we see on the ground working. There's this narrative often that we are in this place of defeat and despair, and it's just not true. I think our story is one of hope, and it's one of power, and it's what we experience with our kids in our classrooms every single day.
Well, Tara Hughes of New Mexico, Beryl Dewdney of Maryland, both early childhood educators who will be up for National Teacher of the Year in the spring. Good luck, and thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And to end, we're going to let Beryl and her kids send us off.
Amazing. Okay, now we're going to say one more thing for our radio friends. Capiche?
It's coming on the radio.
It's coming. You guys get to be on the radio.
You're going to say, you're listening to Here and Now.
You're listening to Here and Now.